Today's daf in the daf Yomi is Gemara in Psachim, daf Nun Zayin. And we're learning today Leila Nishmas Helen Baum, Chana Bas Yitzchak Isaac HaKohen V'Rivka. All the Neshamas we learn for Shadav and Aliyah. Be'ezus Hashem, today we have the pleasure of finishing off the fourth Perek, Makom Shenago, very important and interesting Perek. And in a way, this concludes the first half, if you wish, of Psachim, as I'll talk about at the end of this year. So we begin in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, three lines from the top. The word starts off with the following braisa, Tanu Rabbanon. Ben Bohayon. Bohayon, Rashi says, was the name of a person, and Ben Bohayon is a son. Shem Aviv Bohayon. His father's name was Bohayon. An unusual name, but that was his name. Ben Bohayon Nosan Peya Liyarek. Now, he would give Peya, the son, he didn't know the halacha well, and he would give Peya from Yerek. Now, we learned, of course, in the Mishnah that Chazal said one should not do that. So, what happened? One time, he gave Peya from Yerek, and all the Aniyim were taking the Peya, and his father came. Bohayon came. Bohayon was a tzaddik. Ubo Ovid, umitzon l'aniyim, shayu tu'unim Yerek. He saw that the Aniyim were carrying away the vegetables from the field that had been designated for them as Peya. And he didn't want them to sin because they wouldn't take off trumus from maestros from this field because they thought it was peya, and peya is normally part of trumus and maestros, and therefore this would lead to a takala because it wasn't really peya, and therefore they were going to be eating tevel. And they were about to leave the area. They were standing by the gates to that garden. Mustama carrying sacks or baskets of all the vegetables that they had collected. And Amar Lahem, and he tells him, Bohayon tells these people, Banai, my children, he talks to them very nicely, he doesn't want to scare them off, as we'll see from the Gemara, he doesn't want them to be upset. He says, Hashlichu me'aleichem, please put down the bags, the baskets, the gatherings that you have here of the vegetables, but don't worry. V'ani nosin lechem kiflayim b'me'usar. Rashi tells us that this should be the girsa. The editors already changed it around. You look in the Rashi, he says, kiflayim b'me'usar garsina. That should be the right girsa, meaning that there was a different girsa beforehand. Now, we don't have that different girsa in our Gemara, because many times the editors, when they saw Rashi, make a change, so they changed it in the text of the Gemara as well. So he begged them, please, Rashi continues, Ani eten lechem kiflayim, I will give you twice as much, sheyesh lechem achsha, peya. Whatever you have to pay, you have 5 bushels of peya right now, I'll give you 10 bushels, eten lechem chulin misukonin umusarim. I'll give you the good stuff. I'll give you chulin that's already been taken off, shumas amaisis. So you get the full benefit of it. It's perfectly good chulin. I'll give you twice as much. And he explains to them, Rashi will explain in a moment why he explains to them. Lo b'pnei she'eini tzora, not because I'm a stingy guy, not because I don't want you taking my vegetables. No, I'm going to give you twice as much. El b'nei she'amru chachom einos nimpei aliyerek, because of this potential trouble over here that you're not going to take off trumas and maestros, and therefore, out of goodness of my heart, I'll give you twice as much in order that you're not, rachmona l'tzlan, do something incorrect over here. Rashi points out the source for why normally peya is in fact potter min ha-trumas and maestros, because he tells us that uba ha-levi ken lo chelek v'nachala imach. Normally we give trumas and maestros to the Levi because he doesn't have a share in the land of Eretz Yisrael. They were given the 48 cities, but they weren't given really a portion of Eretz Yisrael to go and plow and to harvest, and therefore you have to support them. And he says, mi she'en lo nachala imach, so something that the Levi doesn't have an equal shot at, you have to take off trumas and maestros and give to him. From your portions, you have to give to the Levi. However, yotza peya, sheish l'nachlo imach. Peya, however, the Levi is also equally entitled to. The hefkin in him, because it doesn't belong to you. You've made it peya, and normally that belongs to whoever comes and takes it. Same thing with shvias. The hefker, potum imaiser. In shvias, anything that you pick up from the ground, anything that you gather, you don't have to take off trumas and maestros from, because it says there as well, v'achlu evyonei amecha, v'yisram, tocha chayasa sadeh. So there it tells us, machaya ocheles v'pturim m'maiser, af evyonim v'pturim m'maiser. Just like the chayas don't take off trumas and maestros, you're eating this like the chayos, and that there is no obligation to take off trumas and maestros. So the bottom line is, he was telling them, this tzaddik Bohayon was telling the people, please give me back the peya, I'll take off trumas and maestros from it, and I'll distribute it appropriately, but I'll give you misukanim twice as much. So the Gemara says, you're asking over here to these people, you're telling these people to give you back the bags of peya that they collected. Why are you telling to them that you're not a stingy individual? You're offering to give them twice as much. So the Gemara says, no, they didn't believe him. They would be shaking their heads and saying, why? What's this guy doing? Here we have these bags over here, and he's saying, give me back those, and I'll give you different ones that are exactly the same type, and I'll give you twice as much that are Mesukanim. So they didn't believe him. They said, Rashi explains that they're going to be suspicious that when they give him back the bags, they're going to say, now take a hike. Why would he give us twice as much? He takes the same thing and then he gives us twice as much. And therefore, they didn't believe him. They thought he was just pushing them off to get back the vegetables that they had taken. And therefore, he had to explain himself, no, I'm not just doing this as a way to trick you. I'm explaining to you why. That's why he told them, not because I'm a stingy person, but because Enos den Peyoli Yerek. More continues. Tanur Rabbanan. We learn the following brayso. Barishono yimenichim oros kachim belishkas beis haparva. Originally, the hides of various animals. Rashi points out the oros kachim are coming from anything that was kachim kadoshim or belonged to the tzibur, such as an ola, a chatos, an osham, or the korbanos tzibur. So those hides belong to the tzibur. They belong to the kohanim. And therefore, the Kohanim would divide them up. Rashi points out in the next Rashi that each day, at the end of the day, that Besov, that group of Kohanim that worked on the Mishmor for that day, the Mishmoros were divided up into 24 Mishmoros. Originally, it was 8 for Moshe Rabbeinu. Then David and Shlomo made it into 24. So each group of Kohanim was on once every 24 weeks. But even within that 24 weeks, each Mishmor was divided up into 6 Bote Av, and they worked on each day of the week, not including Shabbos. And Shabbos, all the Bote Avs in that Mishmor worked. So on Sunday, the Beis Av of Sunday worked, and all the hides from the animals that we just mentioned, all the Kodesh Kedoshim, were given to the Kohanim, and they would divvy them up. On Monday, the same thing would happen. Lav Davka that Sunday equaled Monday, or Monday equaled Tuesday. Each Beis Av, whatever was done that day, so they were entitled to the hides. So that's what the Bryce is telling us. All the hides that they collected from all the animals of that day, the Beis Av would collect them in the Beis HaParva. The Beis HaParva was one of the Lishkos. We mentioned this in Yuma. One of the rooms, one of the areas within the southern wall of the Beis HaMikdash where certain activities were done over there. In any event, that's where they would go collect all the hides and put them there, and then they would divide them up. All the people in the Beis Av would be entitled proportionately, however they divided up evenly in that Beis Av. However, but unfortunately, his life sometimes is that way. Rashi explains, there were stronger Kohanim than the other Kohanim, and they grabbed more, right? The 6'4", 250 Kohen took the hides away from the 99-pound Kohen. They took him by force. Therefore, Hiskinu, So therefore, there's strength in numbers. Instead of having just each Beis Av, I don't know how many Kohanim were each Beis Av. Let's say we're only 50 Kohanim in the Beis Av on Sunday, and 10 of them were strong arms, so the other group couldn't push them aside. So the 10 strong arm Kohanim would take everything. So they changed the practice. Instead of dividing it up at the end of every day, so they would put all the hides in some of this Lishkas Beis Parva, and they would leave them there till Erev Shabbos. And on Erev Shabbos, now you had a whole bunch of Kohanim from 6 different Beis Avs there, and at that point, the Oschon Kulu Mishmaros Vishoklum Badode. So now all of the Kohanim would be there from all of the Batei Av, and therefore, even though there may be some Kohanim that were stronger than the others, now the force of the majority, the numbers, would be against them, because now, even though they're tough guys, but you have plenty of other people, and therefore they won't be able to get their way, and they could divide up the hides in an even fashion. Again, this only applies to the hides that belong to them, the korbanos that were kachi kadoshim, or the korbanos that belong to the tzibur. Those hides were divided up. An individual who brought his own private shlamim, for example, an individual brought his own private carbon, so he was entitled to the hides. They had different customs. They would give them to the Kohen, they would give them to the houses that they stayed at, because they weren't allowed to charge for the rental when you went on Elias Regal, so they would sometimes give the hides to the owners of the houses that they would stay by. In any event, that's not the hides that we're talking about. So it came that they had the whole Mishmar together. The Asin Kulan Mishmaros for Shochan Vadodi to protect the weak. However, it still didn't work out. But Dainu Gedolei Kuhuna Noltan Osam Mizroa. Then you had the Gedolei Kuhuna, Rashi says, the Sarim Shebehem, the leaders, so they would take more. Unfortunately, sometimes the leaders weren't fair. And because of their leadership position, they were entitled to go and take more, they felt. And therefore, it still wasn't a fair distribution. So what did all the Kohanim do? Amdu Balim Vikdishim L'Shamayim. The Kohanim, or the Balim, Kol Kohani Mishmoros Yachad, they all got together, and they donated all these hides. Instead of keeping them for themselves to be divided up amongst themselves, they donated them to the Beis HaMikdash for Berek HaBayis, for upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? Amru, people said, Lo Hayu Yomim Mu'atim, it didn't take a very long time, because now all of these hides, instead of being distributed, lots of korbanos being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, all of these hides were worth quite a bit of money, and it wasn't long before Ashechipu Esahechel Kulo B'Tavlo Shuzav. They collected so much money from these hides, they would sell the hides and take the money, and now they had the money in the Berek HaBayis, so they made gold plates that they would go and put around the entire Beis HaMikdash. Shehein Amo Al Amo Ka'ovi Dinar Zahab. They were very thick. They had a lot of hides. They had a lot of gold. And they basically plated the entire Heichal. And then, when it was Shlosh Regalim, the Loregel, at the time of the Shlosh Regalim, when people would come up, so Hayum Kaplin or something, they would take them off the walls. They weren't permanently attached to the walls. They were plated like onto the walls, and they would take them off to show the people. They would put them up on top of one of the stairways leading to the Harabais, so everybody would be able to go and see the great beauty that was there. They would show them that the handiwork was so good and in such high quality, and there were no blemishes in the delim. It says on the side of the Aruch, and Rashi says the same thing, Pirush Dofi, that there weren't any blemishes, there weren't any mistakes, there weren't any problems. That's how beautiful this was. So that's what they used the hides for, all these hides that they had, ended up making the Beis HaMikdash very, very beautiful. What exactly was this Agav Mala B'Harabayis? So Rashi explains, this is the 15 steps that went up from the Ezra Snoshim, what we call the Shir HaMalos area, where the Levim would stay there, and these 15 steps were the Keneged, the 15 Shir HaMalos, and they would place these Tavlos over there so all the people could see them. So this was between the Ezra Snoshim, the elevated 15-step area, entering into the Shar Niknor, entering into the Azorah. Mark continues and tells us, Tana, we learn in the following Braisa, Abishol Omer, Abishol Toros, Koros shel shikuma hayibiricho. There were these koros. Rashi explains the koros are mechuborin ovav shel ilan kari koror. The thick pieces of wood from the sycamore tree were bound together, and they were very good pieces of wood. And these koros shel shikuma they had in Yericho. And unfortunately, there were ganovim, these balis rose, tough guys, that went and stole them. So what did the people do? Omdu balim v'kdishim l'shamayim. It's funny. The owners said, well, we're not getting them anyway, so we might as well donate them to Hekdesh. And it's amazing how the robbers were concerned about Hekdesh. Now, robbery didn't bother them, but to steal from Hekdesh, to take something from Hekdesh, that they wouldn't do. And therefore, the koros over here ended up going to Hekdesh as well, just like the hides in the previous story went to Hekdesh. And Abishol said further, Aleihem, about such people, the Al-Kayosavim, and people like them, Omar Abishol ben Botnis, Mishum Abba Yosef ben Chonin, Abishol, who was the son of Abishol ben Botnis, he said in the name of Abba Yosef ben Chonin, Oy li mi beis baisus, woe is to us for these strong-armed people, for these bad people, such as the house of Baisus. Baisus, Rashi tells us, was Kohen Gadol Hoyo, and in fact, he says, all of these people that we're about to learn about were all Kohanim Gedolim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you had, unfortunately, the vast majority of the Kohanim Gedolim were, in fact, not good. There was only a small number. Where else tells us there were 18 Kohanim Gedolim that were good in the second Beis HaMikdash, and there were 420 years in the second Beis HaMikdash, and all the other Kohanim, there were like 380 other Kohanim that were not very good. And they all died, sometimes several of them died in the same year, because every time Yom Kippur came, if they weren't worthy to be a Kohen Gadol, they would die going into the Kodshei Kodashim on Yom Kippur, trying to do the Avoda. And since they weren't worthy, they would die. That's why the Gemara tells us they would put a rope around them and be able to drag them out if they died in the Kodshei Kodashim. And in fact, sometimes they had several Kohanim Gadolim die during the year. It was often a purchase position. Sometimes they weren't even Kohanim. And it teaches you something, a tremendous Musa. Heard from my Rebbe. He said, look, these people knew they were going to die. Every year the Kohen Gadol died. And yet, they weren't reluctant to go and buy the Kohuna Gadola and go and take it, because the desire for cover, the desire to be the Kohen Gadol, was such a strong desire that even though they knew they were going to die, the cover, the honor, was such a strong temptation that they said, no, this is not going to happen to me. I'll be able to somehow survive. In any event, Abishol says, woe is to us from this Baisos, Oy Li Me Aloson. Why? Because they are strong-armed. Rashi says they would carry these aloson, is maklosei, and they're sticks. Quotes a Gemara from Shabbos where it says you're not allowed to carry out an ola or a romach or a spear, these types of sticks on Shabbos. So that's what this aloson means. In other words, Bitzus was a strong-armed person, and he would beat people up. Oily Mibes Chanan. And then he said, woe is to us from the house of Chanan. Chanan was another Kohen Gadol. And Oily Milchi Shatzon. They would go and be Melachesh Yoatzei Rav. They would whisper or say bad things about people, and therefore they were dangerous. Likewise, Oily Mibes Kasrus, another Kohen Gadol, Kasrus. Why? Oily Mikul Mason. They used to have pens that they would write terrible things. Rashi says, Shayukosun Igros Lura. They would write bad things. They would write letters that would be poisonous letters. So therefore, woe is to us from them. And finally, Oili Mibes Yishmol Ben Piachi. Woe is to us from this Kohen Gadol Yishmol Ben Piachi. Now here Rashi points out that he was actually a great person. Karshaya. However, of all the people in his family, of Anshi Beiso, Hayubal Israel, they were the tough guys. They were the bad people. So woe is to us from his house. Not him personally, and we'll talk about him in a moment. And woe is to us, Oily Megrofon, from their the Egrof is your fist. In other words, these were tough guys, and they would cause a lot of trouble for people. As the Brisa continues, it says, Shem Kohanim Gdolim, all of these people, Baisos, Chonin, Kasros, and Yishmor Ben Piachi, they were all Kohanim Gdolim, Uvneim Gizborim, and their family nepotism, unfortunately, was always rampant, and their children, Bnehem, were Gizborim, they were the people who were in charge of the finances in the Beis HaMikdash, the treasurers, the Chasneim, and their sons-in-laws, they made into Amar Kolin. Amar Kolin is a certain type of officer that, he says, basically says, Amar Kol, that's where they get the word Amar Kolin. They would control everything. And Badem, even their servants, Choptin and Tzom de Maklos, they were in a position of authority. They were like the police. They were the Shotrim that would go and enforce the actions, the things that they wanted to have done against the will of the people. We continue with another bright. So Tanur Rabbanon, Arba Tzvachos, there were four cries that Tzvachu Azara, that the Azara, so to say, cried out. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bemoaned. A Baskol came out and bemoaned these terrible things. Now, what were they? What were the four things? The four cries? So Rishona, the first one was, Tzu Mikan Bnei Eli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu banished, so to say, the Bnei Eli. Eli HaKohen Gadol was a great, great tzaddik. He was the Rebbe of Shmuel. Unfortunately, he had two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, that didn't follow and do what was appropriate. And they both died the same day that Eli died. And the descendants of Eli no longer were the Kohen Gadol. Normally, the Kohen Gadol kept on going to the children of the Kohen Gadol as long as they were worthy. But since Chofni and Pinchas were not considered worthy, the Gemara defines, and we'll see in a moment what they did, the Kohen Gadol was taken away from the Bnei Eli, and the Bnei Eli were cursed, and they didn't have long lives. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried, so to say, for the Bnei Eli, Tzumi Kam Bnei Eli, you'll no longer be the Kohanim Gadolim. Why? Shetimu Heichal Hashem. Because you were Matame the Heichal Hashem. What does it mean they were Matame the Heichal Hashem? So the Gemara elsewhere tells us that Chofni and Pinchas in the Navi are considered to be adulterers. But the Gemara tells us they weren't really adulterers. They were people that weren't of the highest quality and character. They took more food than they should have from the portions that they were allotted. And they took them too early, and also they delayed the bringing of certain korbanos. So they delayed the bringing of a korban that a woman had to bring in order to be mutter to eat kachim after she gave birth. So they delayed the bringing of those korbanos. So the women didn't go home to the houses. They waited still in Yerushalayim, so they knew that their korban was being brought, and therefore they separated them from their husbands for an unnecessary extra day, and therefore they were considered adulterers. But they didn't, Rachman al-Lusan, actually commit adultery. That's called Shetimu Heichal Hashem. They, on their high level that they were, they should have done a lot better. And therefore, they were considered as being not appropriate and not proper. That's called Metame Heichal Hashem. And they, for all time, lost their status as Kohanim Gedolim, and their descendants all lived shorter lives. Second one, Vahot Tzvacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried out, Tzei Mikan Yisachar Ish Kvar Bar Koi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried out and said that this person, Yisachar Ish Kvar Bar Koi, Shemechabed Es Atzmo Umechalo Kotcher Shemayim. This person, Yisachar Ish Kvar Bar Koi, has to leave, so to say. He's going to be punished because of what he has done. He honors himself, Mechabed Es Atzmo, while he's doing at the same time, Echilu Shem Shemayim. As The Gemara relates that the karich yode bishiroi, he would go and wrap his arms with silk type of gloves. He didn't want to sully his hands. He didn't want to get his hands dirty with the schmutz of the korbanos, with the blood, with the schmaltz. And therefore, he put gloves on. He covered his hands with silk. He does the avodah with the right hand, so he took the left hand and he took the silk and he wrapped it around his right hand. That's important, as we'll see in a second from the story. And then he did the avodah while he's wearing these gloves. Now, of course, you're not allowed to do the avodah while you're wearing gloves. You're not allowed to have anything interrupting between your hands and the avodah. As Tosus points out over here in Dibra Maskel de Karich, he says, Pirish Bekuntris, Rashi tells us over here, as I just explained, that he made a chatzitza. The chatzitza poselis bekotchim. The gloves were ending up being a chatzitza between his right hand and the avoda that he's supposed to do, and you're not allowed to have any chatzitza between your hands and the avoda. The pasuk says, "Lokacha kohen." The kohen has to go take it, which means ba'inon shetei lekicha ba'atzmo shel kohen. It says, "Lokacha kohen." The kohen has to do it and not have any interposition. So that was the second thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll talk about this story a little bit more in a moment. But first, let's continue to Brisa. It says, Va'ot Tzlacho Azara, the third cry out that came, the bas call that came from the Azara, was Su'u She'arim Rosh Hashem, V'yikones Yishmol Ben Piochi, Tamido Shel Pinchos, V'yishamish Bekuna Gedola. Here it's a positive one. The bas call rang out and said, open up the gates. This is a play on where Shlomo HaMelech, when the gates wouldn't open, so he said, Shu Sharm Rosh Hashem, and in the honor of David HaMelech, this is when David HaMelech was shown by everybody that he was a great, great tzaddik. There were people that cast aspersions on David Rahman al-Utslan and said that, oh, he was an adulterer, he wasn't able to build a Beit HaMikdash, etc., etc. All the canards that they yelled against the great, great, great David HaMelech. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said these psukim to open up only in the honor of David HaMelech, and then the gates opened up. So we say over here, Su Shomer Shechem, open up the gates over here in the honor of Yishmol ben Piochi, who was a true Talmud of Pinchas HaKohen. And therefore, he deserves to be the Kohen Gadol. We'll talk about him in a moment as well. V'yishamesh b'kuhuna gadola, he could go and be the Kohen Gadol. And finally, the fourth cry that came out from the Azara, Va'ot Tzlacho Azara, the fourth cry, Su Shomer Shechem, open up the gates as well, and let V'yikones Yochran ben Narbai, Tamido Shel Pinkai, V'yimolei Kreso Mikotshei Shemayim. Let this other Kohen Gadol, Yochran ben Narbai, who is also a good Kohen Gadol, and they call him here a Talmud of Pinkai. Now before, we said that Yishmol ben Piochi was a Talmud of Pinchas, and here, they're saying that he was a Talmud of Pinkai. So some of the Mefarshim explain that Pinkai is a form of Pinchas that is a negative idea. Because who was this Yochanan ben Narbai? Many suggest this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a righteous Kohen Gadol for 80 years of his life. But unfortunately, he went off the derech at the end of his life. So for all those years that he was served, it says that he was a good Kohen Gadol, so Su Shomer Shechem, and allowed this person to come in, but unfortunately, he wasn't a true Talmud of Pinchas, that's why he's called Tamido Shel Pinkai, because unfortunately, he went off the derech at the end of his great, illustrious life. Gemara continues to describe this Yochanan ben Narbai. It says, Amru Olav Yochanan ben Narbai, She'ochal Shlosh Mios Agolim, that he ate 300 calves himself. The show says, Shlosh Mios Garbi Yain, and he drank 300 barrels of wine himself. Now, it obviously doesn't mean that, and we always know that we have the term 300, that's essentially the Gemara's way of saying a lot, that's a Lashon Guzma. And the Mefarshim explain over here, not that he ate them personally himself, but he distributed them to all the Kohanim. So all the Kohanim said, hey, it's good to live around the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, let's stay near the house of Yochanan ben Narbai, the Kohen Gadol always lived in Yerushalayim. And as a result, there were many, many Kohanim in Yerushalayim, more so than normally would be there. They normally would come up only when their Mishmar was on, but they loved Dafka, lived in Yerushalayim. But here, they many lived in Yerushalayim, and therefore, he had all of this food that was from the Beis HaMikdash, from all the Korbanos that the Kohanim would eat, so he would distribute it to all the other Kohanim. So all the wine and all the food that they had there, V'ochala Arboim saw Gozolos B'kinuach Seuda, for dessert, so to say, he would have these many, many, many saw, these 40 saw of the gozlos, the special pheasants, the birds that they would give to the Kohanim. And Abu, they said about him, during all the time that he was the Kohen Gadol, they never had noser. Noser is food that wasn't able to be eaten during the proper time. Most of the Kodesh Kodashim could only be eaten during that day and the night afterwards. So therefore, there was a limited time. If you had hundreds of korbanos and you only had a couple hundred Kohanim, so then there would be food left over. So because there were so many Kohanim over there, he was such a generous person, Yochanan ben Narbai distributed all the food. There never was any noser during his time. Now we finally get to the story of this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, who put on the silk gloves and did the avodah while he's wearing gloves. Mai Salka Be Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai. What exactly happened to this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai? Was he punished for his terrible thing of honoring his hands, honoring himself, and dishonoring the Beis HaMikdash? So Amrei, they tell the following story. One time it was that the king and the queen, Malka or Malkasa, Havu Yasve, they were sitting together, and they were having a discussion, and they were having a conversation about which type of meat is better. Malka, the king said, "Oh my God, he said, "You have goat meat, that's the best. Goat meat is the best." Malkasa, his wife, said, "Amra, imra ayay." She said, "No, sheep, lamb, that's much better than goat." So they didn't know how to resolve their problem. Amru, man mocha, who's going to go and tell us which one is better? So, who knows better than Kohen Gadol? As we just had from the story of Yochanan ben Abai, they were always eating different types of korbanos meat. They would have them all a lot, so they would know mustama which one is better. So they said, "Let's call the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, call Masa korbanos, call Yoma, he must know." So they brought this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, who was the Kohen Gadol, to them. Also, so he came to them, returned to the Omid Beis, and he said, "Achve biyode." When they asked him this question, which is better, goat or sheep? So the king asked him, "Is goat better than sheep?" He shrugged his shoulders, so to say. Veloshen Tzchok, Rashi says, he dismissed him with his hands. He gave him a blow off. He told him, "You don't know what you're doing. How can you even ask such a question?" He dismissed him with a very arrogant and a very inappropriate way to talk to the king by saying, "What are you talking about? You saying goat's better. Your wife's right. Sheep is better. Because if goat were better, then we would bring the carbon tummy from a goat, but we bring the carbon tummy from a sheep. So therefore, it must be the sheep's are better." So the king wasn't happy with this. Amar Malki, the king said, "Okay, you may be right, but it's not good to be right against the king. Ho, v'lo havilei emoso de malchusa. You dismissed me. You were so arrogant. You were so inappropriate to me by dismissing my idea, by saying, who would possibly think that goat is better than sheep? So you're going to be in trouble. Nifsekul yamine. Because you dismissed me, so therefore you think that I'm nothing. I'll show you that you're nothing, and I'll cut off your right hand." So I thought, Amayon, Mistama, all the Kohanim are right-handed, so when he probably blew him off, and he waved him away, and said, "You don't know what you're doing," he did it with his right hand. So that's why the king said, "Off with your right hand, chop off his hand." So what did he do? This Yisachar Ish Bar Kai, you know what he did? He paid off the court executioner, the court chopper off of the arms, and he gave him money, Yav Shochad, he gave him a bribe, Upaskil Smole, in order that he shouldn't have his right hand cut off, he chopped off his left hand, and this way he would still have his stronger hand. However, the king heard about this. Shama Malka, the king heard, and he said, "I didn't say to chop off your left hand, that you did on your own. I said to chop off your right hand. You still haven't had that thumb, Upaskil Mine," and they chopped off his right hand. So this Yisachar Ish Bar Kai lost both of his hands. And it was again, Mida Keneged Mida. He didn't do the Avoda properly with his hands. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his hands. And the Ben Yehuda says that since it started with his left hand, he took the left hand to wrap the right hand up with a silk glove, because they did the Avoda only with one hand. So he had the glove on his right hand, but the left hand started it. So that's why it says the left hand was punished first, but then the right hand got its very much deserved due. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, "Brich Rachmona, bless the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ashkelel Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai." He took punishment on this Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai in this world, lemitrefisei minei b'hai alma, and that his punishment shouldn't come in the world to come. Similar to what we learned about the Chizkiyo did to his father, he dragged Achaz through this world, and he dragged his beer in this world, so he shouldn't be punished in the world to come. So Rav Yosef was saying that this was a good thing, actually, that he was punished in this world, and he didn't get his punishment in the world to come, where it's far worse. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, this Kohen Gadol was an Am Haaretz. Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai Lo Tana Mas Nisan. He didn't even learn Mishnayis, because if he'd only learned Mishnayis, he would have known that none, because we learned in the Mishnah in Krisus where it says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivosim Kodmin Leizim Chomokum. If you go look throughout the Torah, there are many places where it tells us you can bring a sheep or a goat, and it always mentions sheep before goats. So one might have thought that sheep are better than goats. Yochum Meishim Uvcharim Miminon. You might have thought the reason why the Torah says sheep are better than goats is exactly what Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai said, that sheep are better than goats. But that's not the halacha, because Talmud Lomar, it says then in one pasuk, the im keves yavi karbano. If you want to go bring a keves, so then you can bring a keves if you want. The pasuk preceding that, Rashi tells us, is telling us, kan hikdim se'iru l'kivsa, because it says right before that, ve'evi es karbono siras izim, and then it says, im keves. So therefore, if you want, you can bring a se'ira. In other words, there is no preference one versus the other. They're both equal. So he didn't even know this Mishnah increases. He was an Amma Aretz. Ravina says he didn't know a pasuk in Chumash. It's even worse. Ravina Amar, Avila Mikra Nami Lo Kara. He didn't even know a pasuk in Chumash. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, Im Keves V'im Eis. Rashi tells us this is in regards to bringing Korban Shlomim, and the Torah doesn't have a preference. It says, if you want to bring a Keves, fine. If you want to bring a goat, fine. Iboy Keves Laisei, Iboy Eis Laisei. You can bring whatever you want. And since it doesn't specify a preference for one versus the other, so therefore, we see from the Torah itself that there is no automatic expectation or idea or recommendation that a keves is better than an eis. They're equal, and you can bring whichever one you want when the Torah permits you to bring either of the two. With this, we conclude this beautiful perek, and as I mentioned, this is really the first half of Pesachim. One of the reasons why the Masechta is called Pesachim rather than Pesach is because there are two halves to it. You have the first half, which is dealing with chametz and matzah and maror, and a lot of the other ideas that we've discussed till now, and now we're really entering into Pesach, the second Masechta. That's why it's called Pesachim, which will deal with all the halachos of the Korban Pesach. In fact, that's why this staff, the only base, is so short. Because you have on the bottom of the Gemara over here, Seder v'halachos Korban Pesach Rishon, Biktzora. So it goes through all of these dinim, which we're going to learn over the next couple of days and weeks in terms of the second half of the Masechta Pesachim. Now the last parak, Arvi Pesachim, really belongs to the first section of the four first prokem, because that deals again with the halachos of the Seder and a lot of the halachos of Arvi Pesachim. So therefore, we'll come back, so to say, so we're not going to totally leave this first part of the Masechta of Pesachim. We'll come back to it with Arvi Pesachim, but now we're going to start Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow, learning the details and the wonderful inyanim of the Korban Pesach. Learning them should be Ezus Hashem, should be a zuchus for us that this year, Mitzvah Hashem, there should be halach lamaisa. We're going to finish Pesachim right by Pesach time. It comes out wonderful that we're going to finish Pesachim on Yud Nisan, and B'ezus Hashem, this should be a wonderful way for us to go and greet the Yontif of Pesach, B'Yushalayim HaBenuyah, bringing a Korban Pesach. Hadron Alecha Mokum Shenagu, Hadron Alecha Mokum Shenagu, Hadron Alecha Mokum Shenagu.